Welcome to the Built On Air Podcast, the variety show for all things Airtable. In each episode, we cover four different segments. It's always fresh and different and lots of fun while you get the insider info on all things Airtable. Our hosts and guests are some of the most senior experts in the Airtable community. Join us live each week on our YouTube channel every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern and join our active community at builtonair.com. Before we begin, a word from our sponsor, Onto Air Backups. Onto Air Backups provides automated Airtable backups to your cloud storage for secure and reliable data protection. Prevent data loss and set up a secure Airtable backup system with Onto Air Backups at ontoair.com. As one customer, Sarah, said, having automated Airtable backups has freed up hours of my time every other week and the fear of losing anything. Longtime customer David states, Onto Air Backups might be the most critical piece of the puzzle to guard against unforeseeable disaster. It's easy to set up, and it just works. Join Sarah, David, and hundreds more Airtable users like you to protect your Airtable data with Onto Air Backups. Sign up today with promo code BuiltOnAir for a 10% discount. Check them out at OntoAir.com. And now, let's check out today's episode and see what we built on air.
Welcome back. We are in episode 5 of season 18. Good to be back with you live. Myself, Dan Fellers, and Camille Parks back. And I want to welcome Ronan. Welcome, Ronan, to the show.
Good to have you with us. Thanks for having me.
We'll learn more about Ronan and his background and story coming up on the show. But first, I'll walk us through what we're going to be doing today. It's always an hour-long show going through four different segments to keep you all up to date on Airtable and everything going on in this world. We always start with our round the bases of what the communities are talking about. And then we'll share quickly on our sponsor, Onto Air Backups. And then we'll learn about Ronan and his background and how he came into this world and this world of Airtable. And then Ronan's going to share with us one of his apps, Easy Invoice, and how that works, and talk about some of his others. Then we'll talk about how you can join our community if you're not part of us. And then finally, Camille's going to walk through a question from the community and answer it for us. Okay, with that, around the bases, first we'll start off with some comedy. This was a tweet. If you follow the NFL, this was kind of a video of, it was kind of controversial. The Atlanta Falcons drafted a quarterback that everybody was kind of surprised by. And this is the general manager kind of explaining it to the owner of the team as to why they drafted that person, because everybody was kind of confused by that draft pick. But then comparing it to Airtable, it says, trying to explain why you just signed a 4-year NetSuite contract to your startup CEO instead of continuing to use Airtable and Google Sheets. So it's kind of a tough explanation of why did we do that.
I mean, yeah, 4 years it's pretty long for a startup.
Yeah. Somebody in the comments said, okay, so after 4 years, you may have it finally implemented, referring to NetSuite. Versus the speed of Airtable. Here's another one. Boomer IT manager versus Airtable builder. Talking about the change in Mark Zuckerberg. So I don't know. I don't think I'm quite boomer yet. But funny thing is, this is the younger version of Mark. And he's kind of transformed his body.
All you need is an appropriately sized gold chain.
Yep, that's right. And grow out a beard, go to the tanning salon, and pick up mixed martial arts like Marquez. Okay, all right, enough of the comedy. So coming out, this one, actually, I didn't see anybody talking about this, but there was a new
news to me, yeah.
Yeah, so now Apple Pay and Google Pay support came out. Now, what does that look like? Let's see.
Where? So
self-serve payments can now be made via Apple Pay. Oh, I guess this is just signing up for Airtable. So it's not a feature in the app. It just means you can use Google Pay or Apple Pay to pay for it.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, this is like a major thing. If it's, there's two other places I could imagine this going. One, in the marketplace, if you wanted to sell an extension or an app, right? And rather than having a subscription service, like some of my apps have, you know, through a separate website, you just pay directly through the marketplace. Or alternatively, like on an Airtable form, if they added like collect payment details, but where does that information go? And they just became HIPAA compliant. And so my brain for a second was like, what is going on? You can't just drop payments as a new feature.
Yeah, with no press release. Yeah, that would be huge. So
yeah. All right, that makes more sense. Pay for Airtable using this.
But at the same time, it's like, should this be like in the feature what's new? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not really a feature product release.
Sure.
But anyways. Okay, if you were dying to pay with Apple Pay, now you can. All right, next one. An announcement. They hired a head of infrastructure engineering. Just a tease. So they're beefing up their infrastructure team. He says they'll be focusing on improving the platform's reliability, scaling it to meet the needs of our growing enterprise customers, and enabling key product capabilities such as Airtable AI. So that's good. They're beefing up their infrastructure team. One more from LinkedIn. And this is good timing with Scott mentions fill out supports payment on forms, which is very cool. Fill out is an amazing product on the form side. If you haven't used it, it really is a powerful tool on the form side. But now they released a new feature, fill out scheduling. So that you can actually kind of like a Calendly competitor. So you can actually use fill out to connect to your calendar and set up scheduling and kind of use their form builder. And then it has the direct tie-in to Airtable. So like any calendar, you could automatically drop a row into Airtable. So that's pretty cool. I played with it. It's still lacking a little bit of features. I use Calendly. I'm not quite ready to move off of it, but maybe with a few more feature releases, I might consider it.
Yeah, this was a pretty exciting. I myself don't have any forms that are in Fill Out. Seems to be a great product, and adding the calendar component to it is pretty exciting for me because I have, all of my apps are calendar related, and this is probably the more extensible version of what I built just internally using Airtable's API. So this would probably be where I would put, or I would direct people if they were like, oh, can your extension do this? And the answer is no, probably something like Fill Out or Calendly is still a great option, but you could do more with Fill Out because it's, you know, such an advanced form builder on top of now calendar capability.
Yeah. So anyways, these guys are super impressive. I've been impressed with them. To be honest, like Fill Out was one of the main reasons I pulled out of the form space with our Ontuair. One of the reasons we focused on just one, they were just crushing it with their forms. And so these guys, produce a lot of features and functionality similar to Ronin, we'll learn about as well. Okay, moving on to YouTube. We haven't done YouTube in a while, so a couple interesting videos. If you're looking for if you use Figma and Airtable, this is a tutorial on how to sync Airtable spreadsheet content to Figma. So that might be of interest to anybody in the design world wanting to connect Figma. And then there was one more video that caught my attention. This one from Mitch Acer, talking about Airtable AI. And he goes into you know, some of the examples, but he also brings up a point of like how expensive it is if you're trying to do heavy tech stuff. And then and he talks about and then he has a follow-up video recently talking about other ways that you can do it that are actually cheaper than using the built-in. So if you run into limitations with Airtable's API, as far as like, I like it, but it uses up too many tokens for how much they're charging. There are cheaper ways that you can do it. So in this tutorial, he uses Make to go directly to OpenAI's API or Anthropic. So anyways, if you're exploring the AI world, here's some tutorials on that front. All right, moving on. We've got from the Built on Air community. This was a question asked from Ben Bailey. How can I get Airtable to understand Unix time? And I believe from Unix time, he's referring to, so in the computer world, I don't know how 1970 became, I don't know, Ronan, if you know the history of this, how 1970 became like the center of the universe. But that's how computers talk. Like they keep a millisecond count of every millisecond after January 1st of 1970. So if you need a date before 1970, I think it's negative numbers.
I think the world started because of the disco ball, the shining one. That's when the world started.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. 70s.
That's right. That's right. And so that's what he's referring to is how do you know the time in the millisecond or the second, depending on, you know, how many places you want to count. And so Josh here gives the answer of you can actually use an X variable in the datetime parse and it returns the number.
I feel like I should know the answer off the top of my head, but I do want to point out for putting in the X, whether or not it's capital does change something. I forgot exactly what, but there are two X variables. Both of them are Unix related and one of them does something and the other does something else. I think it has to, I don't know if it has to do with offset. I'm going to search.
Yeah. It might be seconds versus milliseconds.
That is probably it. So it is relevant. I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. You can look that up real quick, but anyways, this is very, so that's where Justin chimes in. One counts milliseconds and the other doesn't. Yeah, like you mentioned. So, but it's useful if you're ever doing like math with dates or and trying to or get a unique identifier timestamp that's easier to reference maybe. So that might be the use cases for using that.
And the lowercase x is the one that does millisecond.
Okay, so uppercase does seconds.
Yes.
Awesome. Very good. There we go. Okay, next one. Okay, here's one. Scott talks about the challenges of dealing with numbers being zero versus an empty field. And I think we've talked about this in the past, but it's always a good reminder of, because you can have a number field that's blank, right? That you haven't typed into yet, that is treated differently than if you were to enter a zero in there.
Yeah, I'm in this thread pretty far down, but I related it to how it's handled in JavaScript, which is fairly similar in that there's true-ish and false-ish values. And while zero is not blank, it is false-ish. And so Airtable's formulas kind of treat zeros the same way that plain JavaScript does. But the problem there is JavaScript has two different equals operators. Double equals means the same with type conversion, and triples equals means like definitely the same. So if you put zero in quotes next to zero not in quotes, those are not the same because one is a string and the other is a number. There's no similar thing for Airtable. You kind of have to force it. So someone in this thread, I forget who, it might have been Josh, but later confirmed by Kavan, if you use your number field and then do an ampersand and then empty quotes, you force the number to be converted into a string. And then Airtable is able to say whether or not that string is false-ish. For strings, it's either blank or it's not. For numbers, there's that third quasi condition for zero. So it's fairly confusing if you have like no frame of reference. And it's not really explained anywhere, I think, in documentation. So having not known JavaScript, this could seem like this doesn't make any sense at all. Why would it behave this way? I could see why it would behave this way, but I would want at least a different operator. Right now, we just have one equal sign. I would like a double equal sign to, you know, have that type conversion in there without having to do ampersand quotes.
Yeah.
I can say that my rule of thumb, I always, when building Airtable formulas, I'm just comparing to blank. If I'm expecting a blank field, I will always compare to blank, and I will not trust any of those conversions. And it's also for simplicity, for reading it easier. Mm-hmm. I also have to share that, I don't know, long time ago, I even remember that they treated differently empty strings and nulls, and then I needed to count characters, but I think that has been solved a long time ago.
Maybe.
Like with their counter, but I don't remember. I can look it up in my email because I reported it at the time.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, you know, Airtable now has the AI formula builder. I'd be curious to see how smart the AI is if you gave it a problem like this, like determine if it's blank.
Well, I am too, because I'm reminding myself the last bit, the top comment that we kind of see is the last bit of my very long explanation. I kind of point out that blank isn't actually blank, it's false. So it's like, it's, to me, it's a misnomer. I think it kind of adds to the confusion because zero equals blank is true. And that doesn't make sense.
Should be blankish.
Yeah. Or null. That's, I mean, I don't know. So I think there's some terminology things in Airtable formulas that I'm curious if the AI generated formulas would accurately pick up nuances like this.
Yeah.
Now I learned something new.
Yeah. And here, Scott says, blank function also doesn't work properly for number fields if you're expecting different results for zero empty. Very true. There you go. We could that could be the name of another segment, blankish. All right, one more from the Built On Air community. Oh no, this is the same one. So we are done. All right, yeah, it's pretty relatively quiet week. No major feature releases. So maybe we are coming to the end of the month. A lot of times they like to do stuff at the end of the month. So maybe today, this afternoon, there might be some feature updates. I did see, actually, I forgot, there was another mention of there was a lot of talk on the dynamic linked record or linked filters, and mentioning that they are planning to make improvements to it. So, you know, because we've gone through, you can't use
select fields is select the big fields. One for me.
Yeah. And so hopefully... They didn't say exactly what's coming, but they said it's still very much in development. So
yeah.
So that was good. All right, let's move on. Our backup solution sponsoring our show is Onto Air Backups. It's if you are using Airtable to run your business, best practice is to make sure you have your data stored outside of Airtable. That's where Onto Air comes in. It'll back up all your data, all your attachments, as well as your meta schema information related to your base and tables. So check out Onto Air at ontoair.com. Use promo code BuiltOnAir for a discount. and sign up today to get that going for your business. Cool. Ronan. And tell me again how you say your last name.
Ronan Babayov.
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 All right.
It's a Russian name. My grandparents came from Russia.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Let me change our mode here, get you on the big screen. Cool. Tell us a little bit about your background, your history, and then walk us through how you came into the world of Airtable.
Yeah, so background, learned computer science in Israel. I have more than 25 years of experience in the high-tech industry. I was a CTO of multiple Silicon Valley startups, even lived in San Francisco for a few years. And I actually came into, side note, I saw this background is where I live. I currently live in the Dominican Republic on my surf beach. So this is my view from my balcony. I always recommend everybody to come here. It's a beautiful place, and where I live is the center of aquatic sports. So amazing experience. I actually had a client of mine that came out here with his family and enjoyed it like crazy. He's planning to come back. But going back, how did I get into Airtable? I actually decided in, I think it was in 2016, 17, to take a little break from high tech. And I actually became an environmental activist and became kind of the unofficial CIO of multiple NGOs in Israel, where I come from. And because I'm in technology, so the best thing that I could help those environmental causes is using technology. And this is where I fell in love with Airtable. I think it was 2018. I got introduced to Airtable. All of those NGOs were really low budget at the time. So Airtable had so the free plan with Airtable was really attractive for them. And I just fell in love with Airtable immediately, because I remember I'm sitting with heads of department in NGOs. While they're talking, I'm already building the base for them. At the end of the meeting, they already have a semi-functional base. So we used it to use Airtable from volunteer sign up and routing into organization, and routing of volunteers into organizations, to managing of transportations of thousands of people to protest. We, like, the one of the NGOs was the biggest grassroots environmental organization ever in the history of our country. And what else? Managing translation projects, legal projects, and so many different types of things with Airtable. But at that time, and stop if you have questions, let me know. At that time, I also saw a huge opportunity, like you saw, of actually building apps on top of Airtable, which work directly with Airtable data, like Fillout, like Mini Extensions, like others. And I was waiting for more than a year for Airtable to open their extension as a marketplace. Then it was called the Blocks, Airtable Blocks, in order to launch. And I started building actually a form builder for Airtable called Easy Form, which I will not go into the details why, I launched it for another platform. And it's still live in the other platform. For Airtable, we participated with the Airtable Hackathon. I actually submitted three extensions to the Airtable Hackathon. One of them, Easy Fields. Mm-hmm. Easy Fields is a free extension that allows you to generate country, month, and day of week fields, single select fields in any word language. And the data comes out of standard organization that standardize this type of information. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out yet. So that's what we did with the extension marketplace initially. We also have like a remix with GitHub, kind of a open source project that is one of the first that you could remix from GitHub with Airtable.
Yeah.
But again, needed to pay our bills, and this is where we started to do private development services of extensions for Airtable customers. And our first customer that found us was actually the customer the product we're going to present today, which is Easy Invoice. Interesting story about that. Oh, you have questions before I'm...
Yeah, I'd be curious. Yeah, before we jump into the product, curious. You know, I'm always interested. Like, I also come from traditional software development. And, you know, Airtable is, I imagine you've worked with databases of millions, trillion, billions of data points. And so coming to Airtable, it's like nothing like what you can do with more traditional databases. What was the intrigue that you saw, like the future of Airtable coming with your background?
So for me, it was, from very early in using CTO and choosing different types of SaaS services for my startups, because I was a CTO, so I was the one responsible for choosing the best technology out there. And also, if the best technology didn't work, develop our own custom solutions internally. It always drove me crazy how I'm using a certain SaaS, but then I cannot change it and modify it to my exact use case. Mm-hmm. I cannot modify to it my exact use case. And then if I cannot modify to it, spending tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to build my own custom built solution. And Airtable really, like for me, they're the leaders of the no coding revolution. Like they made it so simple for me to basically build an internal workflow app or whatever for my own business. And I can configure it to my exact needs, So this is where where I fell in love with it. So finally, I'm not stuck with a third-party SaaS product that I can just not extend or configure. I don't have this status. I don't have those fields. They don't support metadata fields, all of those. This, with Airtable, everything becomes really simple. Not only that, like building with Airtable is just fun. It's like Lego. You can easily do these things. Yes, there is a limit with records. So for example, I can tell you what we did with EasyForm for another platform, which still we used Airtable as our CRM, but like, for example, all of the, how the form is going to look and all the submissions and stuff like that, which I could easily hit the Airtable record limit. We just use another database. We used Firebase and just synced essential data from Firebase into Airtable. That's what we did. So yes, there is this limit, but from what I heard is Airtable are looking, and hopefully with this hiring of the infrastructure and head of infrastructure, they do want to go in more and more into big data. And I think that they should go into that space because the competition is definitely, if not only supports it, also is going into this area. Yeah. So I hope that once they go into big data, so all of those use cases where I had to actually go to third-party databases in order to complement my Airtable solution, I will be able to do everything in Airtable. Of course, there needs to be also like, which they already have, like webhooks and API limits needs to be increased a little bit and stuff like that in order to truly work with big data.
Yeah. Cool. Tell me one last question. Tell me your favorite feature of Airtable and biggest wish list item. I think Ooh. I know the answer to that one.
Well, my favorite feature these days is actually interfaces. Those in general, all of the type, but because, you know, especially the fact that interfaces, you can basically create views that are specific to the person, to the actor, let's say, to that specific person. So dynamic filtering of records based on that person's role in the company. And, you know, in the past, you know it. Like, we had to create views, and that's actually a feature I also asked for two years ago. Views for each and every person in the company. Now, you know, all of this, let's call it a boilerplate, time-wasting work. You don't need to do that anymore, which is great. And the biggest feature for me, not only for me, I think for all of our customers, like we have customers that are really suffering because they don't support extensions and interfaces. So everybody moved on to interfaces, including our biggest customer, Riot Games. And because they couldn't move the extensions that we built for them, we built like really advanced heat map view extension that 2 years later, Airtable launched into a part of their timeline view. And it's still more advanced than the heat maps that Airtable provides, but because Riot Games moved everybody to interfaces, the use case of using our extension and the huge benefits that our extension provide for them is not available for them anymore. Mm-hmm. For us as an Airtable partner and extension developer, it's hurting us. Yeah. But again, more than anything, I'm talking about the customers, and especially now that they're going into, like, you know, they're looking more at use cases that you can do with software no loco, where like software local supports code and iframe embeds and even dynamic ones. Software as both of them have like really support for dynamic embeds based on the logged in user, which is amazing. So again, and I think that Airtable needs to go into that space as well in order to truly support all the use cases that their customers out there need.
Yeah. I'd say I'm a little surprised that we don't have HTML embeds, just generic ones. And from an extension developer standpoint, I can see several, if not most, of the extensions being incompatible with the interface environment, and they'd need some sort of update in order to like understand the new context they're sitting in. But also, as a developer, I'm fine with making those changes, but give me the option to do so, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, it can be just a simple start with static embeds. That's a no-brainer. And then with dynamic embeds, the only thing I need right now is give me the record ID from the main URL.
Yeah.
That's it. From there, I can work with anything. Like, we can work with that.
There are so many people who want to just put an image, just a static image somewhere on their interface. But in order to do it, you have to upload the image to some random record and then find some way to include it as like a record picker and just to get like your logo in the top right of the screen. And so it's little things like that that can be solved with simple static embeds that just aren't there yet.
Yep. Excellent.
Agreed. You hear us, Airtable?
Yes, I know.
You have three different developers all telling you the same thing.
Yeah, very good.
But again, it's for our users. It's for our clients. It's not for us.
Right. Okay, if you want to share your screen, we'll transition over to your product. So
Ronan's
going to walk through Easy Invoice with us.
Exactly. And an interesting case, how did this customer find us in order for us to develop Easy Invoice for him? It's a company called Vermont Farmtable. And he got burned with software development projects. So he spends more than $100,000 on failed software development projects where he wanted to have a single source of truth system where he can generate invoices also directly from this app. And I have all of the payments sync back into the system. And he failed. And then he also fell in love with Airtable, but he was looking for a developer that's going to be able to build exactly his invoice. So generate invoices directly from his Airtable data and I have all payments sync back so it can be integrated as part of his workflow. So when you do the deposit, you can immediately launch the start building the order. And he find us through the GitHub open source GitHub projects extensions that we've built and we published to the GitHub. So he was looking for good Airtable developers in GitHub. And that's how he came across us.
Hmm. Yep.
I would never think to look for an Airtable developer off of GitHub. However, they're certainly there.
Yeah. I was surprised as well that he found me like this. I was really surprised. I didn't expect it. Okay. So I will share my screen. Okay, so this is a kind of, the solution is basically both a base and an extension, and the base is a standard base that holds orders, and you can see me, right?
Yeah.
So think of the sales table as basically the orders tables. Every order can have multiple line items. And then we also manage all of the, it also manages all of the clients in this base, which means companies, contacts, every company can have multiple contacts. Every contact can have, and every company can have multiple addresses. So all of those different types of things. And the extension that we build is on the right-hand side. And basically, in order to load a sale, I'm just clicking on load this sale on this button. And let me just make it full screen. So what we did here, we take all of, everything you see here on the screen is basically Airtable data. Okay, this is data coming out of Airtable. So the sales summary is coming from the sales table. The line items are coming from the line items tables. The transactions are coming from the transactions table. And now I want to generate an invoice for this order. So I'm generating an invoice. And one of the thing, and when I generate the invoice, I have the default contact is the main company contact, but I can also select the different shipping contact. I can select an address, a different address for billing and shipping. And we also support like tax name, discounts. Like at the base level, we created a way for having like company level discounts, contact levels discounts, sales specific discounts. So all of this is integrated into the product as well. You can have different tax rates for different invoices. You can, you know, you have the line items that you can have the tier. So all of those kind of an interface on top of an interface of top of Vertu that is specific for generating invoices. And then one of the requirements that we have, and this is important, is he was looking for a payment provider that supports multiple payments per invoice in order to support his workflow. So his workflow, for example, he splits an invoice into a deposit and a balance, and he only starts working once you do the deposit. So we were able to, we were looking for a payment provider that supports multiple payments per invoice, and the only one that supported it was Square. And Square is really, really advanced. We love it, Square. We all evaluated Stripe. We didn't want to use QuickBooks because QuickBooks doesn't support it as well. And Square was the way to go. I don't know if others support this feature today, but Square definitely supports it. So I'll leave it right now so I can also change it to single payment or 50% deposit. Let's just keep it as 50% deposit. And now let's generate the invoice. Give it a second. I hope that the gods of the demo are not going to mess with me. And now, one thing that we said we didn't want to do, we didn't want to replicate all the Square features as part of the extension. So just let me make sure that I'm inside the Square. Yes, I'm inside. So a lot of features that Square supports, we didn't integrate into the extension, and we allowed them to continue and edit the invoice on Square. So for example, I can actually split the balance into up to 12 payments. And how do I do this? I just click on edit invoice in the Square dashboard. I'm immediately logged into Square. And here I can go into, and as you can see, line items, everything has been created. I can actually, wait a second. I'm sorry. Okay. So I can add a payment schedule here. And as you can see, I can request as a part. I'm sorry, you know what? Made a mistake in the demo, but never mind. I can actually request a deposit and I can put a 50% here. And once I do this and I save as draft, I can go back here. And I can actually see that the invoice has been split into deposit and balance. I support within the extension the split into deposit and balance. But again, I could actually, in the Square dashboard, I can actually split the balance into 12 more payments, which I'm not going to go into right now due to lack of time. Now I can create the invoice. Now the invoice is still in draft mode. I can create the invoice. And once I create the invoice, I can actually look at the invoice payment page. And as you can see here, I have a different shipping address as that I ordered and the shipping address that I specified in the invoice. And now let's just do a payment. And you will see that once I paid it, the payment is automatically reflected in the transactions table, and you can see that the payment schedule has been updated. Okay, so that's another feature that automatically syncs all payments back. Now, his use case was also that sometimes he gets payments via wire transfers or check, and this is not coming to Square. So he needed an option to basically the ability to record external payments and also sync it back into Airtable. So we also did this by integrating with the Square dashboard. So you can go into the, you can click on the add payment from within the extension. The Square dashboard opens up again. And as you can see here, I can basically add a payment, say that I'm recording a payment. The payment should be a wire transfer. I'm clicking other, confirm. Going back into Easy Invoice. And as you can see, the payment has been synced back into Airtable as well. And then you see that the order is fully paid And if I click on view, again, this is an Airtable feature. I can see that the square payment node is the wire. We actually also save all the JSON for reference into the square payment object. So if in the future it wants to do stuff with it, you can. So that's the basic. Questions before I continue for another part, if I have time?
Not a question. Yeah. Just I like the sort of accordions that are on the extensions designed to expand the line items and payment schedule section. That seems pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And they are not default like UI elements that you're given with the Airtable extension library. So
No. We actually, that's one of the things we decided with all of our products, because we also develop for other platforms. We decided that we're going to develop with Ant Design. It's a component library that came out of Alibaba, and we love it. It has so many advanced features, and we actually created a really advanced framework on top of Ant Design together with Mobix that basically everything is reactive, as you can see, because we built a really advanced Airtable-specific framework on top of it. We don't even use Airtable hooks, by the way, if you're a developer. So we're using kind of Mobix with the Airtable watchers, and it works perfectly for us in all of our products. Do I still have time for another feature?
You got one more time.
Okay, yep. I have more time. So I want to show another feature, which is, you know, another use case. Let's say there is another invoice that is already partially paid, as you can see, and let me just open it. And let's say that I made a mistake. I overcharged for shipping, for example. Okay, so what I can do here, actually, I can cancel the invoice. And then I can change the shipping price to, let's say, 800. Okay, and then I can generate the invoice again. But as you can see, oh, what did I do here? Okay, I'm sorry. No, again, made a mistake. Let me start from scratch quickly. Sorry. Give me a second. I'll do it really quickly. Fields to clear before demos, Ronan. You didn't clear fields before demos. And let's start quickly again. Okay, I'm just going to quickly generate an invoice. It's going to be a 50% deposit. Okay, create it. Go to the invoice payment page, pay quickly. Okay, that's the part I should have done before. And now, as you can see, I already have one payment that was made, and the invoice is partially paid. Okay, made a mistake, overcharged, undercharged for something, so I can cancel the invoice. I can change, the transaction is still remembered in the Airtable database, and then I can generate a new invoice. Let's make it a single payment one this time because there was already a payment made. I'm going to create it quickly. And as you can see in the invoice payment page, I have a credit note of the invoice, the payment already made against the previous invoice of that specific order. And that's more or less it. So again, a lot of advanced features that, again, in order to confirm with the use cases that the customer needed.
Awesome. So your model typically is you find kind of a sponsor company that has a specific need for an app, and they kind of sponsor the development of it, and then you have the ability to release it to the rest of the community.
Exactly. But this one has an opportunity. That's one of the reasons we wanted to showcase here. We are actually looking for more customers for this right now, because once we have additional customers, then we can actually look into more putting it into the extensions marketplace. But again, until extensions are not supported in interface, it's kind of a something that I'm not sure that therefore is worth it. But this is this is perfect for customers that need like an advanced invoicing solution with Airtables. Please reach out to us. We can adapt it to your own specific use case. There is going to be an implementation fee initially, and hopefully with a few more customers, we can, yes, productize it.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that in general, like those types of products, I think that for us as developers, and Dan, Camille, I'm sure you're going to agree, we're going to have to, until for now, start using the web apps API more and more, because then we know.
Yeah.
No? What if?
Yeah. Yeah. Until they put it into interfaces, a lot of stuff just doesn't make sense. So, but I know you've got other apps. Why don't you share briefly?
I want to share quickly about two other apps that we also built for customers, but now we're about to launch them. Let me just share my screen again. Here it is. Yeah. So we have two apps that you can find on our website, and you have the links here. One of them is Smart Clone. Smart Clone allows you to easily recreate an entire project from a past project with hundreds of tasks in a matter of minutes with minimal edit required. It has really advanced. It adapts to a date anchor of the project. It adapts to the duration of the project and a lot of really advanced features. It's perfect for repetitive or similar type projects like annual events, seasonal campaigns, and asset generation projects of the same type. We actually think it's better than record. We know it's better than record templates, even with the data anchor that they added these days to record templates, because this is actually from completed, this is cloning a completed past project, which is the best representation of a repetitive project. So that's one thing that is coming soon to the extensions marketplace, and we're looking for beta testers. So please reach out to us. You can book a demo of Smart Clone on our website. We'd love to have as many beta testers as possible. For now. And then another product is the Airtable Tableau connector. There is the Airtable Labs one, but ours is production ready, much more advanced, and the only one that supports all of Airtable's many-to-many relationships types, like multiple linked record fields and multiple user fields. And if you need advanced Tableau reports, we even have a Tableau Visionary Hall of Famer on our team. And I can tell you that even Airtable themselves told that after looking at this, that they would recommend ours to their customers. So those are the two things that I hope I'm going to have the opportunity in a future podcast to demo. And, you know, if you're interested in finding more about our easy invoices and our other products and services, this is the contact info. You can DM Richard or myself on the Built on Air Slack community, email us, and that's it, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. I'm a fan of apps and Ronin and what you've got going on. So hopefully there's more support from Airtable, I think, is what we all would hope to see in the app development world.
Yeah. That's the premise on which I founded Easy Apps. Apps on top of Airtable that work directly with Airtable data to make life easier for customers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but again, we're also Airtable builders. We're doing it really good as well.
Yep.
And what amazing foresight to call yourselves Easy Apps when at the time they were called blocks and then became extensions and then became apps. Three steps ahead.
Yeah. Actually, we started as Super Blocks.
Oh, that's right.
At Super Blocks.
Then I take it back.
It went the other way, though. It went blocks, apps, now extensions.
Now extensions. Yeah. Okay. But you know, we always said Easy Apps, we take it easy and we make it one life easy for our customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, Ronan.
Thank you.
Please reach out if that makes sense for you. Okay, quickly join our community. builtonair.com/join gets you into our Slack community of thousands of Airtable users and fans. Very active daily conversations. So if you are not in there, join us at builtonair.com/join. And with that, we'll end with Camille answering a community question. Share your screen. There you go.
So this came in through the Airtable community forum. Pull data by default from another table once a record is created. And we see a lot of these questions that are phrased somewhat similarly. And they could go either way in terms of what the user is actually asking for, and how to have it work in Airtable with the most minimal amount of effort that works on the most amount of plans. And so if I'm understanding this particular person's use case, they have three tables: project, budget, and products. Budget is linked to both project and products. And it sounds like what they want is whenever there's a new project created, create the necessary budget records. So I have interpreted that ask into projects, budget, products, where each budget item is linked to one project and one product. So in this case, we have six different products that are all effectively linked to the same project, but as individual line item records. And then another ask from the post is that to only include items that are active versus inactive. So I have a simple status field with only two options. And what is the best way to automate creating budget records whenever there is a new project? So before I get started, I want to make a few of these inactive to sort of demonstrate the automated component of this. Just going to create a new project and then sit in this table and wait a little bit for it to create the new product or budget records, I should say. So in this case, there are fewer ones that were created than previously because I made that adjustment to make some of the other products marked as inactive. Well, how did I do it? I went to my automations and I have it set where a new project is created. Go ahead and find records in the products table where the status is active. And then I have a repeating action step or a repeating action group that's based on that list of records. And then for each of those records, I'm linking to both the current item in the list that I'm iterating through, as well as the original project that was created. So we've talked about on this show before all of the different triggers for automations. And when a record is created is often not the best trigger, just because a lot of times people are wanting to incorporate information from that record into the automation in some way. But based on how it was phrased in the original question, it didn't sound like there was any particular information that was needed about the project, just that it exists. So that's why I went forward with just when a new record is created. All I need is the record ID, which is of course created automatically as soon as the record exists. And then the find record step, again, we've talked about it before on the show. The find record step has a maximum limit of 100 records. So if it's the case that you have more than 100 active products, this solution isn't going to work for you because it's going to hit that 100 and then stop. So if you had 150, 50 products aren't going to be linked. The other thing that you could do to get around that limit, you could have a script run to output the list of matching records, but you can't have a script on the lowest plan. This base right now is on a free tier workspace. So it's not going to help you if you have more than 100 products and you're on the free plan. So I believe that was all that was requested, but I have the second automation in here that interpreted the question a little bit differently. At first, I read it that when a new project was created, create one budget item that was linked to all of the different products that were marked as active. So rather than this being broken into six records, it'd be one record linked to six products. That's actually far easier to do. The structure is largely the same. It's actually all the same steps, except there's no repeating action. You would have that same problem with if you had more than 100 active products, it would stop at 100, but you would be able to just insert the list of record ID into products.
Awesome. Very good solution.
I cannot just say that SmartLoan may also solve the problem. I'm not sure. I need to dig into more, but I recommend reaching out as well, maybe.
Sure. Because it seems like a, just reading from the question, it seemed like a pretty, with every new project, there wasn't any qualifiers that they had put on it, like when the project is of this type or when it gets to this stage or when the project manager is Camille, it was just when a new one is created. And so just automatically creating those budget records, which is a fairly common use case, not necessarily with budgets, but when a new record is created here, create the relevant records in this other table. So hopefully this general structure is useful to people. But I do want to call out the 100 limit. It might run into some issues, I'll just say, because you can't. The only way that I typically get around it is to write a script.
Yep. Very good. Awesome. That concludes our show. So I want to thank Ronan for coming on. Ronan, next time you come on the show, we'll do it in person in your location. That's enticing. That backdrop is amazing.
I'll hold you to it.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for coming on. And check them out. EasyAppsHQ.com is where you can find Ronan and all his apps and teams. So thank you. And Camille, and we will see everybody next week on next week's show. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Thank you for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out our sponsor, OntoAir Backups, automated backups for Airtable. We'll see you next time on the Built on Air podcast.